Hi, I'm Renee Champagne.
And I'm Rhonda Sestak.
Please join me and my sister as we discuss horrifying crimes, urban legends, and spooky locations throughout Oklahoma and beyond.
You are listening to Route 66 Fear Fix.
Welcome to Route 66 Fear Fix. I'm Renee.
And I'm Rhonda.
We hope that you've been enjoying our podcast so far. We've been trying to bring you some good stuff that you'll find entertaining and not making it too long so you'll actually take the time to listen.
Exactly.
So far, we've kept it pretty local. We try to, I don't know if we're intentionally doing it, but it seems like we're finding things that happen around the month or time that we're in. So
coincides with the calendar.
Yeah.
Everybody knows what September is in Oklahoma.
In Oklahoma City, September means the State Fair of Oklahoma. So yes. The State Fair is actually starting September 12th, 2019. So that's just, as we record, it's next week.
Right.
Next Thursday. If you have never been to the State Fair of Oklahoma, you should go. It is, I believe it's the second largest fair in the United States.
It's
second only to probably Texas. We have lots of fun food, and this year I read that they're going to have s'mores on a stick.
That would be good.
Last year they had deep fried butter. I don't know.
Yeah, I still don't understand how that can work, but okay.
I didn't try. Yeah, I don't understand how it works either. Does it melt? I don't know. Anyway.
They have deep fried ice cream too. I still don't understand how that can work either.
Yeah, I don't know. But I don't, neither one of those sound appealing to me.
I tried the ice cream before with the butter.
I've tried the chocolate bacon. I'm not going to try the dragon. What's it called? The dragon stuff you put in your mouth and the... It's like dry ice type thing. It's supposed to hurt your lungs. I don't know if it does or not, but I'm not going to try those. It's supposed to be lots of different things at the fair this year, though. I think they're supposed to have like medieval type stuff, too.
Right. So. And, yeah, new attractions and things like that. So
yeah, we always go. I think I've gone every year of my existence. So anyway, so for this episode, we want to talk about something that if you're from Oklahoma, you've probably heard about. It is the State Fair. The State Fair murders, I guess that's what they would be known as.
Kidnappings, right? Abductions, whatever.
Yeah. So back when I was a little kid, I was very little. I don't even know how much I really remember, but I remember hearing about it as a kid.
I remember it. Back when that happened, I was 10.
Yeah.
So, and these girls weren't much older than me.
No.
And I will just tell you, I don't think my parents would ever have sent me to the fair by myself.
No, and if you're listening and you are a parent and you really just want to give your kid freedom and let them be on their own, 13 and 14 is just not the age to do it. I'm sorry. I know we have phones these days and age, but
it's,
I don't know.
Not
at the State Fair anyway.
Exactly.
I wouldn't do it.
There is too many...
questionable people.
Yeah. I mean, I know there's a lot of police presence out there, but...
I was going to say, yes. In comparison to when these disappearances and murders occurred back in the 80s, today we have tons of cops. Pretty much anywhere you go, you're going to see a police officer on a horse or something. You know, they have the gang unit out there and everything.
Right.
But if your child is willingly going with someone, as is in these cases we're about to talk about, they're not going to cause a scene.
I would say... I mean, the first case we're talking about is going to happen. It happens in September of 81. Me being 10 years old, I can tell you the mindset back then was just then changing on what kids should do by themselves and what they shouldn't. The big memory I have from that is the movie Adam, about the little boy who was taken from his... That left an impression on me. And it seems like the 80s were marked by a lot of this happening.
A lot of abductions.
Right. And I hate that my generation is marred by this, but we were the MTV generation. Yeah, so what? But the missing on the backs of milk cartons and such, that was a big thing in the 80s. And it just... Anyway, I don't know.
I will say, though, you mentioned Adam Walsh. I mean, a lot of good did come from that.
It did. It's just, that's something that still brings a tear to my eye when you think about it.
I used to hate that moment. I would let us watch that movie I never wanted to go to Sears, that's for sure.
But anyway, but we'll start it off as just give you some, you know, something to think about when you go to the fair.
Yeah, enjoy the fair, but just be safe.
Yes, enjoy the fair, but be alert, be observant, and know your surroundings and who's around you.
And remember, and keep an eye on your kids. Your kids are kids.
Yes.
They are.
And you want them to have fun, so we have to be the adults that watch them in order for them to have fun. So, anyway, I don't want to, but let me step back. I don't want to put down that these parents back then sent their kids to the fair because times were changing at that point.
Yeah,
this was a transitional time.
You thought they were safe.
Right, where parents didn't think about letting their kids go, and then it turned in, well, you can't do that anymore. It's not like the parents of these girls, they grew up in a time where that was okay.
Where it's okay to leave your front door unlocked.
Right.
And,
yeah. It was just starting to change to be what it is today.
Yes. 30 years later, though, we need to be more vigilant.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'll kick it off and we'll talk about it. I found that there are two different set of missing girls, but we're going to start with the first one. And this was on September 26, 1981, Charlotte Kinsey and Cinda Pallett, both 13 years old. They had been dropped off at the fair by their mother. And they were going to the fair and looking around when a gentleman approached them, say, hey, you want to make some money? Will you help me unload, you know, stuffed animals from my truck for obviously the game booths and such out there at the fair? And, you know, the girls are like, yeah, let's do that. I mean, I think he promised them $5 to $10 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the girls even called their parents and said, hey, mom, dad, we're going to be doing this, making a little bit of extra money. Parents didn't think anything of it, you know, and they're like, okay, cool, you know, go make some money, have fun, do whatever. And that was that. And that is where they weren't seen after that. The last phone call to the parent was the last contact that was had between the parents and the girls. Anyway, they searched for these girls. I will say that it was said that the investigation into what happened to these girls was even more intensive than the investigation into the sirloin stockade murders that had happened. They said it was that big back then that they developed a task force of like 30 people to come up with things. Well, what they came up with was they got an idea that the person that supposedly offered them the jobs, I guess they found out that he had Joseph engraved or etched on the back of his belt.
Burned.
Yeah. On the back of his belt. They got a description that he had a yellow badge and that he was like maybe 35 to 50 years old.
That's a big age. Yeah.
I know. That he was 6'1 to 6'3, 250 pounds. He had a full beard with some gray. He was dark-headed, had wire-rimmed glasses, and wore a cowboy hat. That's a pretty good description.
That's pretty good. Who gave him the description?
I never saw who actually gave him the description, but I think, as we find out later, that he also offered a job to two boys. Let me see. The boy's name was I can't find it now, but I'll come back to that. There was two boys he offered a job to. This gave him kind of the first break in the case when the boys came forward. He offered two boys the same deal, and supposedly when he took off with all four of the children, he was supposed to meet a truck at a truck stop where these stuffed animals were. And when they got to the truck stop, which was off of like I-40 somewhere.
Probably I-40 and Council.
Okay, I-40 and Council up in there, because there's a lot of truck stops right there. He left the two boys, and the two boys said that he took off with the girls in the back seat. But we'll get back to that. When they originally came up with this description and found the badge that the person was supposedly wearing, it had the name of Corey on it. And so they thought the original person was that committed the murders was a person called Donald Michael Corey. But he came up with an alibi. He was in Dallas at the time. So they kind of went on from there. And then they had
Was he a carny? Was he like
He was a carny.
Okay.
But he wasn't at our carnival. He was in Dallas at the time. They did go ahead and interview Royal Russell Long. It's a hard name for me to keep straight because it's an odd name too at that. He was a truck driver, an over-the-road truck driver from Wyoming who also was a carny part-time sort of thing. But he fit the description too, so they kind of interviewed him.
Where did they come up with him?
Because he was a carny. They were interviewing all the carnival workers. And he just fit the description of what was given to him.
From the carnival people who were working our fair at the time?
Yes.
Okay.
And this is where they got into it. And they start finding more stuff. Let me find that kid's name. I wrote it down. I'm so sorry. I can't find it. Anyway, we get into where he offered Michelle and Haley Cohn of Enid, a couple of sisters, he offered them the same job that he had offered the other children. So they reported to police that he had done that. And then, okay, Lance Ramsey and Brian Head were the two boys he had offered the job to. They got all this evidence against Long, and so they started, they arrested him. Charges were brought against him. So they start pulling up things, okay? When Lance Ramsey gave his testimony, the defense came in, because he testified that he last saw the two girls with Long in the back of the car seat after Long had dropped him and Brian Head off at the truck stop.
How old were they?
I believe they were 16. They were a little bit older than, because the two girls were only 13. And they were 16. And anyway, he had been, and I don't know why, I could not find why he was hypnotized. But Lance Ramsey was hypnotized 2 days after the girls went missing. I don't know if it was help with remembering what happened or whatever. But defense came in and discredited his whole testimony, saying that he could not distinguish what was fact and what was suggested. So they said...
That's a good defense attorney.
Yeah, they said since he can't distinguish what was suggested to him under hypnosis and what actually happened, that his testimony was null and void. There was no reason to have it. So they that got thrown out. Even though there was other testimony that meant stuff. He not only did Long have all this going with eyewitnesses against him, he had a history of sexual violence against girls, one of which was his daughter, who he had molested. And his daughter also said, hey, I witnessed my father, you know, luring girls into the trailer for sex and such like that. Well, they obviously discounted her for, I guess, I don't know. I'm not really sure why they discount her.
Because, I mean, that would be...
But the judge threw out the testimonies of the daughter and the boy. Threw them both out. Even though, okay, there was also, in spite of all of this, there was so much evidence, and they have found hairs in the trunk. Now, the hair in the trunk of the car he rented, which he drove a Grand Prix, a tan Grand Prix, is the car that they saw him in. That was the one he took the girls and the boys to the truck stop, and what the boy saw him leave with the girls in. In the back of the trunk of that Grand Prix, they found hair that they said was from... I wrote down a bunch of notes. There was a lot to this story, so please forgive me if I lapse, because I'm trying to find them all. In the trunk, the hairs in the trunk of the car matched Cinda. Now, they found some blonde hair at his home in Wyoming. Royal Long was from Wyoming. They found hair at his personal home that they think was probably Kinsey's, but at the time, there was no forensic test to do this.
Well, even if you have forensic testing, though, when you're looking at hair, unless you have the root of the hair to get mitochondrial DNA, if you're just looking at the shaft of the hair, you can't, it's not definitive evidence anyway. Right. You can just say it's consistent with the hair from so-and-so.
Well, they had roadblock of the hair. Then they found blood in the trunk of the... They found a bloody boot print in the trunk of the Grand Prix. And there was blood, I guess, everywhere on the mat and stuff.
A boot print inside of the trunk?
That's what they said. I found a bloody boot print in the trunk.
Do they think that was his boot?
I'm guessing they didn't go...
A boot print you could match pretty well, even back then.
Well, I guess they... I don't know if they matched it or not, but... No, I know they didn't match it. They just found it. The
it
blood
just
that was in the
evidence.
Yeah, everything was there was nothing concrete,
right.
I guess, for them. And the two main witnesses or testimonies the judge threw out for various reasons. One, the boy was hypnotized. I'm really not sure why they threw out the daughters. I didn't find an exact reason for them throwing out the daughters, but. Everybody is pretty sure that he was the person that did this because, I mean, let me finish the story and then I'll go back to why they're sure of that he was the person that did it. When they threw out the testimonies, the charges were dropped. He went on, whatever. He actually ended up later on pleading guilty to a charge of abducting another girl in 1984. So, he was sentenced to 2 life sentences. And they think he is considered a serial killer based on what his daughter said. They think there's a long line of girls out there that were abducted and killed by him, spanning all the way back to 74 when he was a suspect in the disappearance of 2 girls, Deborah Meyer and Charlene Brown, in Wyoming. But he was never.
One of the things I did read said that they think his work was being overshadowed by that of Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy was so much in the news and that he, I don't know.
They never suggest. But, I mean, it's sad. I mean, he was sentenced to 2 life terms because of that, and he ended up dying of a heart attack in prison in 1993. But... During the trial, the reason they're so sure that he was the person that killed these 2 girls was during the trial, he made it a point to taunt the family and say, nobody knows what happened to your girls except for me, or, you know, basically saying, I'm not going to tell. And he never did. Now, I mean, basically, that's a statement of like, haha, I know what's going on, but
yeah,
you're
but
never going to learn.
Unfortunately, you have a lot of crazy people who would do that just for sport.
But coming back to his little statements, now his daughter, who, you know, was one of the main testifiers against him too, he made the statement to her, not about this case in general, but about everything he had done. You know, he said that... He was so good that he could be in a closed room straddling a dead body with a bullet in the brain of the body and him holding a gun in his hand that matched the bullet in the person's body and that he would never be convicted. Now that is coming from K-12 News, KXII.com, in one of their reports that he made that statement that he could do pretty much anything, and they wouldn't catch him. He could be standing there over the dead body with the gun, and they still couldn't convict him because everything in this case pointed towards him, and yet it was so circumstantial. The judge threw out two of the main testimonies. The tests weren't there to corroborate what kind of physical evidence. And he just got away. Do you think he's saying that
because there was no bodies?
Well, yeah, and that was the other thing, because they've never found the bodies. And because he was this over-the-road long-haul driver, he worked for a lot of oil companies, too, part-time. And I guess when you dig a well, you have something called a rat hole at some point. And I assume that's probably where they've dug down for the oil and stuff. But when that hole goes dry and they pull out, they take it and cap it with cement. And a lot of people are thinking that's probably, he probably never left Oklahoma with the girls, and that they probably got dumped in one of those holes. And it's a hole nobody's ever going to go looking in, because there's thousands of them,
especially,
you know,
across Oklahoma.
So,
but you said that they found hair that they thought was the one girl's in Wyoming. But
they couldn't test it or anything. They just assumed. But
how many people have blonde hair though?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to narrow it down. But yeah, but he seemed to be a very vicious person. And let me go back. We've been talking about these two girls that disappeared on September 26th. 3 days after they disappeared, there was another two girls that were going to the fair that disappeared too, here in Oklahoma. It was Cheryl Vaughn and Susan Thompson. And they were both 16. I have not found hardly anything on them at all. Their bodies have never been found. But what's odd is the connection that they were headed to the fair. They found the car that they were riding in abandoned and stuff, but they've never found the bodies, and there's been no indication if they were taken from the fair or it happened before the fair.
Where did you say they were from?
I want to say they were from McLeod, somewhere in that area. But it's just odd, the timing of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's weird, but but that was the 1981 girls. And like I said, if you have any information that, I mean, I think they're pretty much set in who they think did it. It's a matter of the family wants closure on being able to bury their children because the bodies haven't been found. So mm-hmm. I know the one father Otis Kinsey is, he's been searching for his daughter's remains for over 30 years. So
yeah, because I was thinking we're almost going to 40 years now.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's 1981 girls. Now there was a second set of girls that disappeared from the fair. I did not know this. I thought there was only one.
I thought there were two.
I didn't know there were two sets. But
can I go back and ask you, what year was he arrested?
I
know you said he was arrested for the 84 abduction, but what year was he arrested?
The trial they did on him was in 85. That long to go to trial from, I don't know, the day he was arrested. I don't know.
So he couldn't be responsible for this, what you're about to talk
about.
Oh,
no. Okay. No. Now, fair time again came around in 1987. This is pretty close in years for stuff like this to be happening at our fair.
In Oklahoma.
in Oklahoma. But in September of 1987, Lisa Pennington and Cheryl Ginzer, sisters, Pennington was 16, Ginzer was 25. I want to say they were from Enid. They went missing from the fair and were found about a month later in a shallow grave. Their bodies were found. They had somebody, the suspect they got came around. His arrest happened 3 years after the fact of their disappearance. And it only happened because he had somebody with him. Sorry for my paper rattling. Doug Lawson, who was a friend that was supposedly with him at the time of these abduction and murders, went to the police and said, hey, this guy is the one that did it, and told them everything that happened. He said that Henley had raped Pennington and beat Ginzer with a pistol and a shovel, and that he had helped him dispose of the bodies. And, you know, so they go out and arrest Henley, and they bring him in. But before he ever went to trial, Doug Lawson said, "You know what? I just made up the story."
Did he get arrested also?
No, he didn't get arrested.
What the heck?
I don't know, but you, he's like, "I just made up the story." Yeah, I would think he would. You know, if you're there when they were murdered and killed and stuff,
was this
you're
how
an accessory?
They were murdered? Had she been raped?
Yes.
Okay. And
yes.
She was hit with something.
Yes. And anyway, so after, you know, he got acquitted because the guy recanted, this guy moved off to Roswell, New Mexico. I don't have as much information on this guy. This guy is actually still living as far as I can find. But Lane Henley moved to Roswell, New Mexico. And while down there, in 2000, this is all weird coincidence with this guy. In 2000, his friend, Molly Cahey, 35, she was 35, was shot and dumped in a shallow grave by the Pecos River. Weird, I know. He was also, because they knew of his past, questioned about this one. Well, nothing came of it, so he got off with that one. Well, again in 2008, he's the best criminal ever, or he has the best luck ever. I don't know what could be what. But in 2008, his mobile home caught on fire. He escaped with pretty bad burns, but his girlfriend was somehow trapped inside and could not escape and died.
Tied to a chair.
And her name was Amy Maribel, and she was 38. Now, you know, in 2012, I guess some bounty hunters got a confession. I do not know if this is from Lane Henley's daughter or Doug Lawson's daughter or somebody else's daughter, but a daughter of a man the police had talked to regarding the girls in 87 who were abducted. Yes. Told them that her father had conveyed to her that one girl was raped and killed, and the other one was tortured for a couple of days and then raped and killed. And the youngest one was killed first, the youngest sister, and then the older one was the one they held for 2 days. I guess they didn't believe her testimony at all or what she was telling them, because they didn't go back and look into it even further.
What the heck?
And to this day, I mean, there's still people wrapped around this case wanting them to retest the evidence, and the police refused to do it because I guess they say they got everything they could get from the evidence then. But I don't know how much tests were done. I mean, this would have been 90 when it was first brought to their attention.
DNA evidence didn't really come about and be accepted into court systems until like 92.
So it was still a little early. So why couldn't they retest? Is it too old?
Depends on if they still have the evidence.
Well, they said they still have the jewelry, the fingernails, and I don't know, a lot of stuff from the girls.
If they had swabs. I mean, that's something, if it were properly preserved, they could get DNA evidence from.
I don't know. I guess they didn't have much because they are under the assumption they couldn't get anything else from any of these. But that, I don't have as much on those two girls because I guess the bodies were found, and basically this guy is still out there, and the main witness, since he recanted, they didn't know if he did it out of fear or whatever. But
so both of those guys are still living.
Yeah,
both one's of these, in New Mexico, and one's still
Roswell.
Here?
I don't know where the other guy is. They didn't say any more about him after he recanted his testimony. But it's just pretty chilling to read these two different accounts within what, 6 years of each other.
Yeah. Kind of makes you not want to go to the fair.
I know, but and then it's even worse that they're pretty much sure they had the people in both and lost it just because of lack of testing. And I don't know.
Yeah, but you're talking about testing. They didn't know it was going to come about. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
It's a technological
but,
advance.
I mean, still, I mean, the first one, you had two testimonies the judge threw out, and then the second one, the guy recanted his, so.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's weird. I know. I feel like I've been all over the place with this one, but there was a lot of information, especially in the first two girls. You know, that I think because that was pretty major.
Well, I think because they still never found them.
Right. They never found their body, and for it to be something, we had some pretty horrific crimes in Oklahoma within the span. When I mean, we had the two girls getting abducted here. And then they said that was more intensive of investigation than the Sirloin Stockade murders, which were in 78?
It was, I think it was the year I was born. I think it was in 78.
Okay. And then what, the year before that was the Girl Scout murders. And wasn't it 77?
I don't know for sure.
Okay. Anyway, it seems like there was a span of a few years. We had a lot of high-profile crap going down in Oklahoma. Excuse my language. Yeah. But it's... I don't know. This was a scary time to be.
Well, I think...
I mean, in my opinion.
It still is, I think, for those of us who know that those things happened.
Yeah.
Because there's not one year that I go to the fair that I don't think about those girls that are missing.
Right. Yeah. And we had some close friends through our family knew the two girls that were missing in 81.
Right.
And, I mean, it just kind of hits home. You know, I mean, it's a little close, and I don't... Anyway,
I'm just so curious about these two 16-year-old boys.
That...
Did they not find this odd? Were they in on it? Were they...
Well, I...
They're old enough to know. This is weird, you know?
Yeah, they're old enough to know, because, I mean, he had asked a couple of girls just a few days after, the ones from Enid.
Mm-hmm.
They thought... I want to say they were... Probably 15, I think. I didn't write down their age, but they thought it was odd and went to their parents.
Yeah.
And I guess he just went on from that. But
okay, well, what do you think the point was in him taking the two boys as well as the two girls?
I don't know.
Because to drop them off at the truck stop, why take them anyway?
I don't know. Maybe it was...
That's why I feel like, did they have something... Maybe they didn't have something to do with it. I don't know. I'm sure they still live here.
Well, I mean, I don't know if they did. I mean, I still want to know why the one boy was even hypnotized right after it happened. I mean, why...
I think that probably was a common... We say common, but I think that was a means of remembering something, you know?
I guess. I just
but,
don't know.
I mean,
know
why that... would you not remember? But I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. But I'm assuming that's where the sketch must have come from, where there's two boys or the other two girls... That didn't go with
it. I just feel like if you have an eyewitness that is saying, yes, this is for sure the dude that picked us up and drove us somewhere and dropped us off and took these two girls.
Yeah.
That, I mean, isn't that good enough?
I would think so.
You know?
I mean, if anything, okay, yeah, he threw out the testimony of the daughter of Long, and he threw out the boy that was hypnotized, but, yeah, but what about the two girls up here that didn't go with him and said, that's the guy?
Yeah.
I mean, is
but
that
But I guess
that,
in and of itself, asking someone to help
doesn't make
a truck
it a crime.
Is, right.
So they can't say,
it
yeah,
prove.
It can't put him there at the spot like the boys could.
It might be the guy that picked them up, but it doesn't mean he killed them. Even though, I mean, to you and me, no. we're like, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. And then to have those other two girls from McLeod or whatever disappeared 3 days after the other one, I'm like, there's a lot of crap.
It's also odd that he would take them in pairs.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean...
That's kind of risky.
Yeah. But and then they have the next set in 87. I mean, that's a little bit more... I feel like that's still kind of ongoing with that guy still being alive.
I wonder if it was a copycat type thing.
I don't know, but the long guy was, you know, considered... Like you said, they think he had a long line of bodies probably dumped all over the United States. They think that he was a pretty prolific serial killer. And
yeah.
And he had the best way to do it, too. Carnival to carnival, not one place at a time. But I don't understand. If he was a carnival worker, when did he get the time to do over long haul over the road? Maybe he delivered carnival to carnival, doing
the equipment and
yeah.
the rides and...
I guess that could be.
He didn't look like a traditional carny to me.
No. No, he just...
Those people, no. though, man. I'm sure some of them are really nice, but...
I'm sure they are, but they're rough.
They're rough around the edges, for sure.
Yes, but... Anyway, I'm sorry. I feel like I was all over the place with this, but...
No, I mean, I didn't know a lot about it. I've always heard about these disappearances, and like I said, I always think about it every time I go to the fair. I take pictures of my children. My children never leave my side at the fair, but I take pictures of them still. So, well, if something bad were to happen to them, I have something to show someone.
Yeah, and that's a good habit. I mean,
that's
even
the first
mine,
thing we do when we walk in the fair.
My kids are older, but I would still...
But I would still... I wouldn't let them go by themselves.
I mean, my son's almost 6 foot tall, but I'll give him...
It doesn't matter. Things happen to adults, so...
Yes, they do. And they can happen faster than it happens to kids anymore, it seems like. Especially with a lot of the gangs we've got going on around in here.
Yeah, we do have a bad gang problem in Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so you have anything else about the state fair stuff?
No, just sorry for the damper on it, but have fun at the fair.
Yes, like I said, if you've never been to the State Fair of Oklahoma, it's pretty awesome.
I'm still going this year, regardless of looking
this up.
Yeah, we're
still going also. Yeah. No, just be aware and keep your kiddos safe.
Yep.
Anyway, all right. Well, you are listening to Route 66 Fear Fix.